It was past midnight when I entered the police station. I knew that I could have come earlier, but I've never been one for crowds, especially when those crowds were packing heat. Thankfully, all the beat cops went home after hours, so I didn't have to deal with their incompetence. But the chief of police was still around. As far as anybody knew, he never went home. His job was his entire life. Don't work to live, live to work. It was one of the few philosophies that I knew we both shared. In fact, it might have been the only one. I had met him a couple of times before. He was an older man with an air of dignity about him, a lover of rules and order. The type of person who would hate a female detective simply because she didn't act as a woman should. He had told me as much many a time over the years. But he never could deny that I was quicker than he was. I had always managed to solve the cases that had him stumped. We both loved and hated me for it. I made his job easier, but only by crossing lines that he wasn't willing to cross. Most days I rolled my eyes at his stubbornness, but tonight I needed to convince him to break a couple of rules of his own. The only person around when I entered the police station was some kindergarten cop who was barely old enough to hold a gun. I guess he had drawn the short straw and had gotten stuck with guard duty. The lad had clearly succumbed to boredom hours ago. He was passed out over the front desk. The chief would probably give him hell once he found out that he was napping on the job. Rookie move, kid. But I felt no need to warn him. He had already made his bed. Might as well let him lie in it. I didn't wake him as I walked past the empty drunk tank and into the chief's office.
Good evening, chief.
I knew that the man wouldn't be surprised to see me. He had been in the biz a long time, and as much as I hated to admit it, the chief was damn good at predicting my moves. He had to know that this was the only option I had left. But I knew that he knew, so I wasn't taken aback by his gentle stare. I glared right back at him and told him I needed the kid's autopsy report. He chuckled, asked me why I wanted it.
You know,
I grumbled and told him that he knew bloody well why I wanted it. I had a theory about what had happened to the kid, and the autopsy might confirm my suspicion. He smirked and said that I seemed pretty desperate to clear my name.
Sir.
I rolled my eyes.
You know better than that.
He had already cleared my name. I knew that, and I told him as much. The kid's case had gone on for far too long now. The cops should have arrested me by now. The only reason why they would have waited would have been because the chief had ordered them to. And the chief would only tell them to wait if something in the evidence was giving him pause. And since nothing they printed in the papers ever pointed to another suspect, whatever was giving him pause must have been in the only file that the papers never saw. The autopsy report. His lip curled. I knew that he was impressed with me, despite his best effort not to be. I told him that I didn't need to see the autopsy report to prove my innocence.
I know I'm innocent.
And I already knew that I was right. Report. I only needed it to track down the kid's real killer. A task that was once again beyond his capabilities. But not my own. I expected him to argue with me, but instead, he pulled out a file of a nearby drawer and slid it across the desk. I picked it up and took a quick peek. Sure enough, it was the kid's autopsy report. I stared at him.
I was sure it had to be a trick. He would never just give me such a vital piece of evidence. He hated me. And more to the point, he knew that he was breaking the law by doing it. He would never risk his career like that. Especially not for me. Before I could get over my shock, he asked me if I wanted to take a ride. I paused. I knew that the right thing to do was to take the autopsy report and run, but curiosity got the better of me.
Okay.
I let him lead me out the back to the station's only police car. He held the door open and helped me into the passenger seat. Normally, I would have snapped at him for trying to be a gentleman, but tonight I was too distracted.
I knew the car was the chief's pride and joy.
It cost a small fortune, and the chief spent the best part of the last decade trying to convince city council to let him have it. He was more protective of it than he was most of his officers. Why was he risking damaging it to take a woman that he hated on a joyride? It was beyond me. But he didn't seem to question himself as he put the car into gear and drove us off. Once we were out of sight of the police station, he asked me if I was confused.
Yeah.
I said yes, as I saw no point in lying to him. He laughed and told me that he was planning to retire soon.
He just couldn't take the biz anymore. It was too corrupt. He knew it,
and he knew that I knew it too.
He had regrets,
but he wouldn't miss it. Then he told me that his biggest regret was not breaking more rules. He said he had seen me in action and knew that I got better results. He told me that he couldn't help but wonder if a few more saps might have been brought to justice if he had been just a little less by the books. I told him that he was a good chief.
You are a good
chief. It was the truth, and I wanted him to know it.
But he wouldn't take his eyes off the road. So, I leaned over and kissed his cheek. After all, sometimes words aren't the best way to make a point. I whispered in his ear, "Do you feel like breaking a few more rules tonight?" In response, he pulled the car over and turned to kiss me. I let myself enjoy the taste of his lips as I ran my hands down his back. Then I gave him a wink as I crawled closer to him. He wrapped his arms around me and kissed my neck. I bit back a moan. I wouldn't let him break me that easy. I pushed his head down to my breast and let him kiss every inch.
Then I kissed his neck to rile him up even more. He sighed. And I reached down to see how excited he was getting. To my delight, he was already rock hard.
I guess the old guy still had some spark left in him. He let me tease him for a bit as he played with my chest.
But just as I felt him start to leak, he pulled back and opened the door of the car. I let him lead me outside into the cool, dark air.
We'd parked somewhere down by the docks.
Out in the distance, ships were slowly passing through the night.
But thankfully, no soul was near enough to hear us gasp.
He pushed me against the car door and kissed me as hard as he could. One of his hands reached down to tease my clit. This time, I couldn't help but let a moan escape my breath. To quiet myself, I kissed his neck, but it didn't distract him from my clit. I squirmed as I felt myself getting wetter and wetter. And before he could make me moan again, I grabbed his arm and spun him around. I pushed his body against the car and started stroking his cock. This time, much harder than before. I smirked as he gasped with delight, and I kissed him again to push him even further. When he was getting close to the edge, he picked me up and threw me onto the hood of the car. I hissed. The engine was still hot, but I stayed put. I didn't dare let him think that I was too weak to handle a little heat.
No, I'm okay.
He leaned over me. Then he slid my panties off and pushed up my skirt so that he could finally shove his beautiful cock inside me. I shivered as I felt his shaft hit all of my pleasure spots. Then I wrapped my legs around him to pull him in closer. I gasped with delight as he began to thrust. I could tell that he was a man with experience. He knew just how to push me. But I was determined to outlast him. I squeezed his cock as I bucked my hips up and down. With each thrust, I knew that I was bringing him closer to ecstasy. I could feel him getting tenser and tenser. And then I whispered, "Come for me." And with one final gasp, he gave in, and I felt his wonderful cum fill my tight, wet pussy. It felt so good. Once he calmed down, I slid myself off the car. He wanted to kiss me again, but I wouldn't let him. I had made my point, and now it was time to move on. He didn't push it, and still offered to drop me off at my office, like the true gentleman he was. I let him, even though the ride was all too short. As I got out of the car, we looked back at each other. I wanted to thank him, but I knew that the words would be a waste. And I knew that he knew it too.
Bye, Chief. Have a good night.
So I muttered a quick goodbye and headed up to my office. There, I pulled the autopsy report out of my bag. The report wasn't long, and one quick read confirmed my suspicions. I leaned back in my chair and sighed. I knew who the killer was. But for once, I wished that I didn't.